Good morning. It is good to have you here this morning. We are finishing up the sermon series called Moving Forward by Faith. If you remember, David's been in Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of the men and women of faith, for the past few weeks. And so when he asked me to preach today, I said, let me just close out that series because there's no better place to close it out than chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. But before we get there, open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 32 and read through 39, kind of as a precursor to what we're speaking about this morning. So how many of you have ever run a race in here? See your hands. A few have run a race, or at least you feel like you run a race every day in the rat race and those kind of things. I remember the first race that I got involved with. Our church growing up there in Muskogee, Oklahoma, had a family life center, had all the recreation program, and they said, we're going to have a 5K race. At that point, I didn't know what a K was, so I thought, well, that can't be very far. So I signed up for the race as a 17-year-old high school senior and thought, this is going to be a cinch. And then when I got there, they said, well, it's 3 miles, and it's up that street with that big hill, and then it's back down the street. I thought, still going to be a cinch. I'm fairly in shape. I'm a band guy. I march all the time. I can do this. I was not an athletic guy because let me tell you, in the race, I got all the way through and up that long hill. But coming back down that hill, which was a cinch, then it gets to a flat part. I could see the church parking lot where the race ended, and I could not make it. A block before the end, I fell over sick, if you know what I mean. It just wasn't a pretty sight, and I thought, how could I be so short of the finish line and still not make it? You may feel like that in the race, and that's what we're talking about this morning. Look at chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. It says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves have better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10 introduces this athletic imagery. And he mentions in verse 32 that we're in a contest. We're in a race. But if you remember what I just read, they were exhausted. They had been through persecution, pain, humiliation. It was tough for them. Their hardships were overtaking them, and they were flat out tired in the race. And so then the author of Hebrews gets to chapter 11, where I told you about the great chapter of the men and women of faith. And what's great here is like a coach in a halftime speech. He starts telling them about the players of old. He starts telling them about the past of Israel and telling them who survived and made it because of their faith. And then he gets to chapter 12. And chapter 12 is where we're going to be this morning. It's chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And it says, therefore. Do you see that on the first verse? Whenever you see a therefore in the Bible, you have to ask, what is therefore, therefore? I mean, what is it there for? I know that therefore is a conjunction. Do any of you remember ABC Schoolhouse of Rock? You know, conjunction, junction, watch your function, hooking up phrases and clauses and sentences and all that stuff. So I know it hooks up what just has been said. So look at chapter 11, verse 39 and 40. These were all commended to their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore. Therefore is because there are people that he just mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 that have not made it yet. They're commended for their faith, but they're going to be perfected as through us as we watch, and they watch us race for Jesus Christ. So chapter 12 starts and it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who is oppressed by sinful men, so that He endured oppression from sinful men so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Let's talk about those verses for a minute. We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. What a great saying. Witnesses, spectators. Think of that stadium that is full to capacity. And that's what you think of when you think of this statement here. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses in a stadium, and they're looking down on a track as we run the race. I heard the theologian F.F. Bruce, or read that he said, it is not so much that they look to us, but we look to them for encouragement. You see, we look to them because they bear testimony that they were successful in their faith because they stayed true to God. They trusted God. That's why they were commended. And they can help us to be successful in the race because we can look at what they did, and through their suffering and persecution, they continue to have faith. It's interesting to think about that cloud of witnesses, because you think, who is that cloud of witnesses? Well, then you think back to that halftime speech that the coach, the writer of Hebrews, gave. It's those players of Israel's past. He brings up Abel. He brings up Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Samson and Barak and Jephthah and Samuel. David and the prophets and the host of others. That's who that cloud of witnesses is. But what's even greater is I don't think it just stops there. I think it's others who have gone before us. I think it's family members who we've lost. Our church family's lost some people this year that had wonderful faith. And I believe they're there encouraging us. For your Aggies out there, it's like the Christian 12th man. They are cheering us on in the race. They want to see us succeed. So they're cheering us on. They're there to help us in the race. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin which so easily entangles. Hinder and sin, those both are two distinctly different things. The first is hinder. That idea of throwing off is to put off, to take off. Back then in the contest, a runner would have taken off or stripped out of their clothes to run the race the best. Those clothes would constrain them, those robes, so they would take those off. They would remove excess body weight so that they could run the race and run it the best they could. Those things were not a sin, so to speak. They were a hindrance to them. There are hindrances in our life. They're not sins, but they get in our way. That word hinder, I play racquetball some, and in racquetball, that's actually a rule that you can call in racquetball, because when your opponent's in front of you and they hit the ball to the front wall and it's your turn to hit next, but you can't see the ball because they're blocking your view, you call hinder, and you replay the point. That's what that means. They block your view. The things that hinder us in our Christian life block our view from God. Mark Batterson's written a book called All In. He's the pastor of National Community Church in Washington, D.C. That's a book that about 20 of our men in the church went through with me this past fall. In that book, he says people want to spend an eternity with God. They just don't want to spend time with Him. He said that people want joy without sacrifice. They want character without suffering. They want success without failure, gain without pain, a testimony without a test. He said people want it all without going all out for God. And I think that's what a hindrance does. It could be a place. It could be a relationship. It could be a hobby. It could be something that just takes our eyes off of God and doesn't help us to concentrate on Him. But then there's that other thing. It says, and the sin which so easily entangles. Now, here's the difference. The sins are the rough part. They're the things that can pull us down in the race. For that list of sins, you could go back to Galatians chapter 5 and see that jumbled list, but right after it are the fruits of the Spirit, the things that help us in the race, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that help us run a good race. Self-control, the last one of those fruit, is one of the most important, because if you can exercise self-control, you can keep from doing the sin which entangles. I was in a mall one time, and on the back of a girl's shirt, I wanted to buy it, but I never saw it in there, but on the back of her shirt, it said, live your life in such a way that the preacher doesn't have to lie at your funeral. You'll get that in a minute. Live good, or you cause us to sin by having to lie. What you need to do is live that life for God. But sin entangles. I took a group of guys duck hunting from the church a couple of weeks ago. We went out. They were so excited. They bought new waders and new mud boots, and we went out, and it was pretty muddy. The private lake we went to, the rain had not been there, and so the water had receded. And so it was muddy getting out there. And then we waded into the water to throw decoys out to get ready for the ducks to come in. And we were out there, and there was one of our church members in front of me. He had just gone to Academy to buy him some new waders. And he's right in front of me throwing out decoys. It was so muddy. But we just stood there and threw him out, and he started to move, and he fell back. The mud had him so bogged down he couldn't walk, and he just fell back in the water. Thankfully, he had waders. I messed up. I laughed at him. I even thought, didn't tell him, but you novice, you need to get, because I'm a duck hunter. I love it. So I help him up, and I started to move, and I fell right into the water. That's where I messed up. I shouldn't laugh at somebody because it happens to me. That's what sin does. It bogs us down. In a race, keep moving. If you fall, get up and move on. Throw off the things that hinder and the sin which so easily tangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I can still remember watching the 92 Olympics when that happened. One of my favorite stories of all time. Because of what Derek did, he didn't give up. He persevered through injury. And that's what we have to do in the Christian race. Persevere. The race is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's not a competition, it's a completion. To complete the race is what it's all about. But it takes perseverance. Now, there's something you don't know that wasn't in the video. The official record books in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics, for Derek Redmond, by his name, it says abandoned. Abandoned. It means to give up, to leave the race, because he didn't finish the way the other runners did. But Derek Redmond crossed that finish line much later than the other runners. Doesn't matter. It's not a sprint. All we have to do is cross that finish line, and some of us go hobbling across that finish line. But there's a Father that comes to our side when we need Him. So persevere, because the race marked out for you, let me tell you something. Your race marked out for you, I could never run that. I could not. I can pray for you and encourage you, but only you can run the race marked out for you. I want to tell you a real quick story about a young man that came up who persevered. I couldn't run his race that he's running right now, but God has come to his side. So this young man called me, and he said, Jeff, tell me about Grief Share. I need to know about that program. And I told him about Grief Share and what it does, how it's a group of people who support one another who have lost loved ones. And so he said, okay, and I told him when it met. Never thought I'd hear from him again. 3 weeks ago, we had a finance team meeting on a Sunday afternoon when the church normally is closed. After the meeting, most of the people on the team had left, and I walk out of the room, and there's this young man. He said, Jeff, I talked to you on the phone about Grief Share. I thought, wow, he's here. So I took him. I said, come on. We ran after another guy that was in the meeting, Don Rawls, who's one of the facilitators for Grief Share. I wanted Don to meet this guy since he would see him at the Grief Share meetings, and I wanted him to explain what Grief Share was. We heard this young man's testimony. He said, I lost my 2-year-old daughter 2 years ago. He said, I could not say anything for 2 years. He said, in fact, I felt like ending it all. He said, but instead, something happened a couple of weeks ago I want to tell you about. He sat there and told Don Rawls and I this. He said, the Texas Country Reporter Festival was going on, and I said I'd meet a friend down here. I parked in your parking lot right out here. He said, I walked across your lawn to get to the square, and in your lawn there was a sign that said Grief Share. He said, I took that as a sign from my 2-year-old daughter. I took it that she's saying, Daddy, get up. Tell somebody about what you're going through. Talk about it. He said, I feel like now I want to tell people. I want to talk about it, and I want to tell others so that I can help somebody else that's lost a daughter or a son. That's a man who has gotten up in the race because the Father came to his side. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. It's so important to keep your eyes on the prize. A race had a contest in the writer of Hebrews' time. It had a prize at the end. Whether it was a medal or something, they worked for that prize. That's why they ran so hard. They wanted to get to that prize. Paul knew about that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, when he said, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Now there awaits for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day and award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who long for his appearing. What is our prize? What Paul just said, if I finish the course, I get a crown of righteousness that God himself will award to me. The Lord will award to me on that day. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The beginning and the end is what that means. He authored what faith was all about because he was obedient even to the cross. And he perfected faith by giving us the path of salvation because of what he endured on the cross. All of those people in Hebrews chapter 11, they were great men and women of faith, but Jesus Christ, he perfected faith. I love that word author because I believe that he writes a chapter in your life. And I believe he writes a chapter of faith in your life if you'll follow him. It says, he is the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross. If you want to think about somebody that suffered in life, he endured the cross, the humiliation, the pain, the agony that he went through, but he scorned it. He set it aside, that shame, that this torture thing that was reserved for criminals, he just put it aside and endured for you and I because of this. Because of the joy set before him. Do you ever think when you're suffering through something that there's a joy that's set before you? I would never think that. But that's what Jesus knew. Because the joy set before him was that he would sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. That he would complete what was going to be started in his life. And that would be that he would be our Savior. God's plan. That was the joy set before him. And there's a joy set before you if you will run the race. So he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and set out the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. As we close the sermon this morning, I want to tell you about this. Grow weary and lose heart. It's more of the athletic imagery. It's what would have happened to a runner in a race. It's what happened to me in that race that I ran way back when I was a senior in high school. Exhaustion and fatigue took them over. Again, they were going through so much hardship. They were being persecuted. They were being oppressed. How could they make it through this race? And the writer of Hebrews says, consider him, Jesus Christ, who endured such opposition from sinful men, and you will not grow weary. Don't lose heart. Do you know that the Christian race is not lost because of an external injury? It's lost because of internal. It's lost because we lose heart in our soul. We give up. We abandoned the race. Don't abandon the race. Mark Batterson's book, I told you about that, and I want to give you one more quote from the book. He said, without the crucifixion, there could be no resurrection. So whenever you have a setback, don't take a step back because God's preparing your comeback. Now let me tell you, that preaches. Don't take a step, when you have a setback, don't take a step back because God's preparing your comeback. He's preparing your way. That's why the writer of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, he says, for we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. We are not of those who step back, but we are those of those who believe and are saved. You're on the winning team. You have a prize at the end of the race, so you need to keep running. I love our series title, Moving Forward by Faith. As an individual, as a Christian, we move forward in our faith. Don't step back when you have a setback. God's there, like the Father running out of the stands. I love the title of our campaign that we're starting, Moving Forward by Faith, because as a church, we're moving forward. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Just like the Old Testament people, they could not see the prize, Jesus Christ, but they ran the race. As a church, we can't see what's ahead of us that God has, but we are moving forward by faith, confident that He's going to give us great things and amazing things. I encourage you, move forward by faith in your personal life. Run the race with perseverance. I encourage you to be a part of our church family as we move forward by faith in this campaign. If you've not had a chance to fill out a commitment card, be a part of that because we're going to do something great for God together. Because we are a part of those who believe and are being saved.